The eye that sees each sparrow fall, His unseen hand is in it all. Do you really believe that? God help us this week to remember those wonderful words that we just sang together. There are times during a week that something will happen, and immediately my first thought is, I'm going to preach on that Sunday. And that so happened this past week. My family and I were in Florida for a baseball tournament that lasted Monday to Saturday. And so on Sunday and Wednesday, we were visitors. On Sunday, we were guests of Jarrett Ferguson at the Henderson Boulevard Church in Tampa, although we still had to buy his lunch afterward. And on Wednesday is what I want to tell you about, because we went to a church that was closer to where we were staying, a little church in Winter Haven, Florida. We learned after services that our family of four helped them to set an attendance record for this year. We had 27. There were two public prayers offered during this assembly, and both times they thanked God for the visitors. As soon as we walked in, I was given this pen, in fact, three of them, with the name of the church and a visitor card. And they mentioned us publicly during the service. Afterward, they invited us to go to their normal Wednesday night spot. They said, we're all going to Arby's and we want you to come with us. That didn't sound very appealing, so I told them we were vegans. No, that's not true. But you know, that made an impression on us. And on our way back to where we were staying, that's all we could talk about. And so I want to talk tonight about our responsibility here of attending to the visitor. And I want to invite your attention to Genesis 18, where we will read the first eight verses. Genesis 18, and please read with me from the Word of God, verses 1 through 8. Now the Lord appeared to him, that is to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. You just drive around town and you see that word visitor everywhere. I mean, we've got a visitor center where you can go first. We have visitor parking at places. Hospitals have visiting hours because people see the importance of the visitor. Well, especially does that need to be the case when visitors come to the house of the Lord. Think about that. We are inviting people this year to come to Jesus. Are they seeing Jesus when they come to our assembly? We're not having to go into all the world and find them. They've come to us. Let's be certain we are attending to the visitor, that we see an obligation that goes beyond the borders of our spiritual family. This is indeed a scriptural one. The word hospitality, as used in the New Testament, may not mean exactly what you think it means. We use that word to talk about having people over at the house, entertaining people in our home. We want to be hospitable. But the Greek word literally means love of strangers. Love of strangers. And the reason that God saw that as being such an important part of His people was over and over He said these words in the Old Testament, "For you were strangers in the land of Egypt." You don't defraud a foreigner. You don't mistreat those who sojourn among you because you know what it feels like to live in a land that's not your own when you were slaves in Egypt. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been the visitor before. We've all felt the awkwardness, if not fear, of going into a place for the very first time and not knowing how we'll be received. Are we going to sit in somebody's pew? Are we going to know and expect what's happening? And while we may not be able to put our finger on it and say exactly what it was, we've all left before and said, "That doesn't seem like a very friendly church." Or they weren't very welcoming to us. We cannot afford to let one visitor go away with that attitude. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul said that the individual Christian should be contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. To be hospitable was one of the qualifications given to elders in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, Titus 1 and verse 8. But this is not just something that is for the elder. This is for all Christians. We all have a responsibility to attend to the visitor because we can all do what Abraham did here in Genesis 18 when no doubt the Hebrew writer had him in mind as he entertained angels unaware. And I want you to notice three simple things that Abraham did when he attended to his visitors. Let us be children of Abraham in this regard. Number one, it says he looked. Did you notice that? He looked. He was sitting, verse 1, at the tent door in the heat of the day, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. That phrase that he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day appears to be a custom of Abraham's time. This was something that you did, especially so that you could watch for travelers. You would be in a position where you could see those who were passing through. We see that same concept in John 4 when Jesus came to the well of Samaria, Jacob's well, and it says it was about the sixth hour, which according to the Jewish time would have been about noon, the heat of the day. And there Jesus found the opportunity with the woman at Jacob's well. But Abraham had positioned himself so that he could see. And because he looked, he saw those three men and attended to their needs. How hard is it for us to just look? To just look around and notice and observe that there are people here who are visiting? This sermon is not about, well, you need to take them right then and teach them the gospel and baptize them before they leave the building. This is a sermon about being aware. He looked. And because he looked, what an opportunity that Abraham found. You know what our problem is? We don't look because we're too self-involved. We're too busy thinking about everything else we have to do. We're too busy thinking about all the chores I have left at the house, or all the errands I need to run after services, or what else we have planned this week, that if we can just get through the Lord's Day, then we'll get on to what's important in our life. He looked. We have a culture that's not as hospitable as Abraham's day. I mean, there are some neighbors that we have, they drive in, open the garage, shut the garage, and we don't see them. We put solar screens on our windows, not just for the sunlight, but so people can't see in and know when we're home. I overheard a conversation of a couple of guys who were talking at Starbucks, and one of them said, yeah, my dad mows his yard at night because he doesn't want his neighbors to know he can't afford a lawn service. We're isolated. We don't want to be approached by people. We need to look. We need to be aware. There shouldn't be people who visit our assembly who go by the members with no greeting, no handshake or smile or thank you for coming. We need to be on the lookout. The second reason we don't look is because we're too involved with the people who are around us. We know only those who sit near us. We only speak to those who are on the pews around us. And we're not looking. Every now and then we have a lay family reunion in which there are lays who come from every nation under heaven. And I tell you what happens at the lay family reunion, Coin Dusty will tell you, everybody just sits with and eats with the people we see all the time. All the South Houston, Pasadena lays sit together. And if we're not careful, our worship services become one big family reunion where we just always visit with the same people. What opportunities are we losing for people to come to Jesus? That they would leave our assembly and say, no one spoke to me. That's not a very friendly church. I'll go find another place. He looked. Be aware. Let us be children of Abraham and attend to every visitor. Number two, he ran. Did you notice that? In just these few verses we read, there were several references to Abraham hastening to this opportunity. Look at them again. Verse 2. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Verse 7, Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. This was something that Abraham did hurriedly because he saw the importance of it. This was one opportunity he didn't want to let go by. He didn't know how long these visitors were traveling through. He didn't know how long they would be there. But he wanted to make certain that he did everything he could to meet their needs. He wanted them to see that you are more important than what else I had planned today. So he looked. And then he ran. You know what that's called in the sports world? Where he ran, hurried, quickly, ran. Some versions have hastened. In sports, you just call that he hustled. He hustled. And you know what that says about a player who hustles when his teammates don't? He goes beyond duty. He's not just going through the motions. He's not just running the play out. He's giving everything he has to it. He has a willingness and a determination to give his best. And so he hustles. Abraham ran. Would our visitors conclude that us attending to them is our priority? Again, we think about this as if some great act is required. Can you greet someone when they come into the church building? You don't have to ask for their life story. Can you say, good morning? Can you help someone find Bible classes for their children? Think about that. If our visitors are bringing young children, they themselves are turning them over to strangers for 45 minutes. Can you help them find where their children go to class and make them feel comfortable and welcome? Can you offer someone to sit with you so that they don't have to worry, am I taking someone else's pew? Can you invite them to lunch after services with you and your family or several families? Remember, these are people who are our best prospects. They are already demonstrating by their presence here that they want to be a part, that they're interested in knowing the Lord, and they want to know more about the Bible. Shouldn't that be something we run and hasten to? Lest they leave our assembly, where we know the truth is taught, but they leave for lack of attention. Abraham ran. Quickly, he hurried. Let's not let one more go by. Everyone has a responsibility in this regard. In so doing, we will become children of Abraham by attending to the visitor. And then number three, I want you to notice what Abraham did. He looked, he ran, and he gave. He gave. Verse 3, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring you a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. Verse 6, quickly he said to Sarah, prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Verse 7, he ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. Verse 8, he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as he ate. This ended up being a rather expensive opportunity. A choice and tender calf. This would have been something they would have reserved for special occasions. And Abraham could see no more special occasion than 3 men visiting in his home. And so he gave. It was a sacrifice to him. He went beyond and above what was expected because he was attending to these visitors. And you say, well, that's easy for Abraham to do that. The Lord had come to his home. But remember, at this time, he's entertaining angels unaware. Later on, he comes to find out who this is, but he doesn't know that at first. He's giving his best to strangers. He doesn't even know if he'll ever see them again. But still, he gave. Can you do that? We preach all the time about giving our best in our worship. And primarily we do that because that glorifies God. We do that because of who we are worshiping, that we're not going to give Him second best. We're not going to serve God with sloppy seconds and give Him the leftovers. As he rebuked those in Malachi 1. You're giving me sacrifices you'd be ashamed to give your governor. And so we're not going to do that because that doesn't glorify God. We give our best, secondly, because we want to edify one another. We want to teach and admonish one another in our worship. And so we want to give our best to do that and accomplish those purposes. But I want to give you a third reason that we give our best in worship. And that is so we will convict the visitor. How do we know that this may be the only opportunity we have? That this might be the only time they come into our assembly? We need to make certain we're giving our best. Keep your place here, but look to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And pick up in a conversation that Paul was having with regard to spiritual gifts. And his point in this section is that they should want this and desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. The one they wanted was speaking in tongues, perhaps because that was more noticeable, more dynamic. But he was trying to show them how they should desire earnestly to prophesy. And here's the reason. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14. So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. If therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? So in this verse, the unbeliever or the ungifted man, that's the visitor. He comes into the assembly and he sees all the people speaking in tongues, and he'll say, they're crazy over there. You don't want to go to church with them. They're mad. All right, verse 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. An unbeliever would come into the assembly and see what they're doing, and his conclusion would be, God is in this place. The Lord is here. They would be convicted. The worship service is not training ground. It's not for whoever wants to get up and lead. We give our best to God. In so doing, we glorify and honor Him. We teach and admonish and edify one another, but we also convict the visitor. We give our best because we want them to conclude God is among them. Abraham gave. And you know what he found out? God is here. He said, we'll return in 1 year, Abraham, and you will have a son. You and Sarah will have your descendant by whom God will visit and bless all the nations of the world. All because Abraham looked and ran and gave. Let us be children of our Father in attending to the visitor. Look at verse 16 back in Genesis 18. Then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Don't you love that? That's what we do, isn't it, when we have friends and family at our house? We don't just shut the door when they leave and say, see you later. We walk out with them. We watch them get in their car and drive off, and we wave one last time. Abraham walked with them to send them off. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels unaware. Let's be children of Abraham by attending to each and every visitor. In so doing, we can hasten the day of the Lord's return when we who are aliens and strangers in this pilgrim land will make our way home. If you're not going that way tonight, we want to use this opportunity to extend the Lord's invitation that you would come and confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized. To come to Jesus. If you need the prayers and encouragement of your spiritual family, and we can be of assistance to you, you can let that be known. If we can serve you in any way, let us attend to your needs right now while we stand, while we sing.